get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe DeRosa.
And this is Curdy B.
And this is Emotional Hangs.
I won't say it anymore.
I love it. It's better for me. This is a podcast about adult friendship.
Vulnerability. People opening up. So on the count of three, one, two, three, let's get soft.
I want to start off with this.
Oh, you jumped right in.
This is a dumb thing to start off with, but I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I tweeted this thing. I think it's very funny. No one likes it. I need you to tell me if it's a funny idea or not, or okay, if it's just bad. Maybe I'm losing touch. I want to know if I'm out of touch now.
Okay.
Is this funny?
Uh-huh.
If you think about Forrest Gump as a sequel to the movie Big, but Tom Hanks, instead of switching bodies with a 12-year-old, switches bodies with a 6-year-old before the movie starts.
Wait.
So Forrest Gump is actually a 6-year-old boy who made a wish.
Oh, I see.
And then he becomes
saying.
Tom yeah. Hanks. And so, like, then you just imagine all of Tom Hanks's movies as him switching bodies with different boys of different ages. But I think it only works with Big Forrest Gump.
I don't mind it.
But you definitely didn't laugh.
It took me a second to figure out what you meant. It's not, you're not losing touch. It's not like it's an offensive joke or something.
Oh, no, it's not offensive, but it's...
It was just...
I like the idea of the force, like, because the thing about Big was that it was weird in the fact that, like, it's a 12-year-old, but he fucks this girl. You're like, they, like, you know, they sleep over, and I think they have sex, but, like, she kind of raped this 12-year-old boy, even though he was in a man's body.
Well, she didn't know he was 12.
I know, but still, she like raped a 12-year-old boy, you know?
Isn't it? Let's just bask for a second in the time where you could do something interesting and sort of edgy like that. And
no one questioned it, though.
Yeah.
No one was like, this is a 12-year-old boy who's having sex with like a 30-year-old woman.
It's because it was a time where people were adults.
Oh,
and
really?
And had brains and could think.
Also, it's a time that's like 2 years later than when Woody Allen was a 40-year-old man dating a 16-year-old and no one like raised
an
eyebrow.
He wasn't 40. What are you?
He was 40 during Manhattan. He was a 40-year-old man.
That wasn't after Big.
No, it was like before. It's like 3 years before.
She's 17, isn't she? Or she's 16.
She's 16.
Yeah, it was,
still in high school.
I mean, look, I say it all the time, and it's nothing anybody ever wants to hear, but I'm not saying it was okay. It was a different time.
No, no,
listen
totally.
To the music from that period. You know, she's only 17. Everybody, your beloved fucking Beatles, not you, the world, I mean.
I was like, all of a sudden, like, I'm no big Beatles
I mean, the
head.
World, the world. Everybody loves the fucking Beatles. People just conveniently forget about the lyrics about she was only 17, if you know what I mean. Like, people just kind of skate around that stuff and just talk about, you know. It means LSD. Lucy in the sky.
So it's just a confusing joke more than it's not funny or stupid.
Yeah, you didn't do it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just if I read that, it would have taken me a second, and then I would have been like, oh, I get it.
And then moved on.
Yeah, but what are you...
Hey, I'm putting myself out
What are
there.
You upset about, though?
Nothing.
It got zero likes.
It did get zero likes, but it got very few. Like, no one really liked that.
I think Twitter's like anything else. I think it, or just like stand-up comedy. I think every time I think, oh, this is a good one, it
yeah.
gets nothing. And when I think something's like whatever, it works really well.
It's weird. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as we promised last week.
Was that it? There's no more ketchup?
Oh, yeah, let's get ketchup.
Yeah.
You got any ketchup on you?
Well, you were away all weekend.
I was all away all weekend.
I hope you had fun.
Bachelor party in the woods.
Yeah. I was very jealous because...
You're still not drinking.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there was alcohol at the bachelor party.
Very drunk.
so I'm jealous of that. My only question is this. You guys stayed in the cabin the whole time?
Well, there was it was on a lake.
But I mean...
So we'd go swimming in the lake.
There was no... You take the take them out to the strip club or any of that shit. It was literally just...
It was in so deep in the woods.
Okay.
The strip club was probably like 3 hours away.
Jesus Christ.
It was... I had to travel 30 hours round trip there and back for like a 36-hour hangout.
So it was the flight to New York?
No. I flew to Chicago, then to Albany, then rented a car, then drove 2.5 hours down on Friday, hung out, was super hungover Saturday, didn't really even drink Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, like, got up like, yeah, and we got to, like, hang out and, like, go swimming for, like, 3.5 hours, and then I had to get in my car at 11:30 and drive.
P.M.?
A.M., and then drive, and I didn't get home until, like, 9:30 p.m.
Oh my God. Pacific time. Sounds horrible.
It was a lot of travel. Jesus. Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Good for you.
But a lot of travel.
That's one of the things.
Also, I was pissed off at myself that I was so hungover on Saturday that I didn't get to enjoy that day that much. And that's something that I'm thinking, like, I don't want to be that hungover anymore where I can't function as a human being. I don't like that.
Well, no, but I mean, here's the thing. You rarely get that hungover.
Exactly. It was a bachelor party. It was a special occasion.
You know, my buddy Scott, like, after my 40th birthday, you know, he was at the party, and he was like, dude, you were drinking so much. And the next day, I was like, that really frightens me. Like, why did I? And he goes, dude, I've known you my whole life. We've drank a lot together. He's like, I've never seen you drink like that. He's like, it was your birthday. People were buying you drinks, and you just weren't refusing. He's like, you know, special event drinking doesn't count.
Great. Perfect.
It's seriously. And I'm not, that's not a justification. That's like, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's, you're so excited. It's like amusement park energy. You're so excited. And like, you overdo it sometimes. That's all.
Yeah.
But now you know for next time, if it's a 3-day celebration, take your time.
Make
Saturday the big day.
Yeah.
You know, have fun Friday.
Yeah, but like, wake up so you can enjoy yourself.
But like, my thing is like, if that was my bachelor party, I would have been like, okay, guys, here's the thing. Let's have plenty of fun tonight, but I want everybody awake tomorrow at 9 a.m. because we start drinking at 9:30.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to go all fucking day tomorrow. That's a great bachelor party. When you told me about that, I thought, that's what I'm going to do for mine, except I want mine closer to civilization.
Right.
I would love, like, lake house thing, but then cab, 15 minutes, bar hop, strip club, go back, house party. I'd like a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's I think you
me.
Could.
I think I could, too.
How's the non-drinking going? You're looking good.
Am I?
Yeah.
Thank you. I've lost some weight. You know, it's going fine. I'm at today's. Tomorrow will be officially 2 weeks.
Okay.
I've not cheated on the diet.
Good.
I'm actually very proud of myself with the diet. I went.
It smells like hot dogs in here. Does the diet revolve around you eating hot dogs a lot?
It's called the all dog diet.
Nothing but dogs.
You have to, the way you do it, you have to open your own hot dog cart. So I'm going to wheel that out
it's
here.
It's
a
lot
a
of standing.
Yeah, yeah. And selling and eating hot dogs. That probably, you probably would lose weight if you did that. No, it's that's bacon. That's center cut bacon. You're not far off. Center cut Oscar Mayer
there
bacon.
There we go.
Which I found out, my mom told me this, and I was like, there's no fucking way that's true. And then it was. She's like, the healthiest version of bacon you can eat is center cut.
Yeah, because it's away from the fat on the belly, right?
But Oscar Mayer. And I was like,
Oscar
there's
Mayer.
No fucking way Oscar Mayer center cut is the healthiest. Picked it up in the store. Thickest, fattiest shit still. Least calories.
What?
Against Applegate, against all those fucking bullshit uncured ones. Less sodium than all the uncured bullshit
ones. Do they
ones.
Just like pump it full of like a filler or something?
No, it's just fucking healthy ass bacon. They just do a good job.
I can't. You just. There's got to be a reason. There's not anything that's healthy ass bacon.
I'll tell you the reason.
Bacon's bad for you across the board.
I'll tell you the reason. And I eat Applegate products.
Hey, give it to me.
So I support it.
Give it to me.
The I support Applegate products. Here's the reason. Oscar Mayer doesn't feel the need to wave their good deed dicks in the air like everybody else. That's what it is. That's the reason. They're like, yeah, we made a good bacon. We don't feel like we have to pat ourselves on the back with it. Anyway, so I get to eat. The diet is fat friendly. It's okay. Very pro animal fat.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of eat whatever meat you want. Like, you know, don't just eat fat, obviously. But like, you know, try to eat fish. Try to eat chicken. Fucking eat the steak. Eat the fat. Eat some ribs. Whatever. Yeah. Just don't slather them in sugary shit. So that's cool. But I was very proud of myself yesterday because I was hitting a fucking breaking point, as you know.
You wanted to have a drink.
Dude, I was texting you to Thursday.
Yeah.
You were like one of five people I texted. I was like, I can't fucking stand this.
Did I respond well?
Yeah, you were like, you can do it, buddy.
Yeah.
As you were packing for your 3-day alcoholism run. Which is what everybody does when you try to step back from drinking. You'll be at a bar. You're like, it just sucks. Like, I'm not having any fun. And your friends are like, dude, I'm so proud of you. Give me 1 second. Can I have 6 Jaeger bombs? Listen, you can do this.
You can do this. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So I was just getting antsy. I was bored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I smoked a little pot a couple days this week.
Not the same.
It's just not. And there's always the moment where I get nervous, like, and weird, and I have to, like, coast through that part somehow.
I can't smoke weed anymore because of that.
Also makes my chest hurt.
Really?
That's the other thing I've been doing. Like, at night I'll have 2 cigarettes because it's just something.
Yeah.
And then my chest hurts in the morning. I'm like, all right, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up one thing for a little while and then just do another bad thing. But anyway, yesterday was the day where I was like, I am going to fucking snap if I don't eat. Because I went to a party on Saturday. There were like gourmet cupcakes everywhere. And I didn't eat any of it. Like,
And you didn't drink at all?
No. And then I played a house party in Silver Lake.
Uh-huh.
That was free high-end scotch. Like, they turned the bedroom into the green room. And they had a $200 bottle of scotch in there for the comics.
Oh, my God.
And, like, it was a party.
I want to do this show.
Yeah, it was a fun show. And I was just like, God damn it. Like, get me the fuck out of here right now. And I went home and I was like, I don't know what to do, man. I'm just going to eat cake all day tomorrow. Like, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And I got up and I was like, I got to go get pancakes. I'm craving pancakes. And I, like, took a step back, took a breath, Googled, like, ketogenic diet, cheat day, found out info, and then they were like, look, go cheat a little bit, but cheat with something that's not going to throw you off your fucking diet completely.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up ketogenic pancakes, and I found a recipe.
Almond flour?
Coconut flour.
Okay.
Coconut flour, baking powder, little bit of cinnamon.
So you made them yourself?
Some vanilla extract. Made them.
Make them pancakes. Dude, on the diet.
Hit the fucking spot. And I just bought sugar-free syrup, like, you know. And then I bought, which I can't even tell the difference anymore. Yeah. And you can put butter on them because it's ketogenic. And I was like, and then some of that fucking Oscar Mayer bacon, dude. And I was like,
that sounds great.
It, like, completely sated the craving. I was good. But I will say, this weekend is the real test. I go to San Francisco Wednesday to do the punchline.
Right.
Actually, tonight, wait, no.
No.
Was last week. I was at the punchline. I hope you came, people of San Francisco. But so I don't know. I'm talking now about the past, but it hasn't happened yet as I say it.
You can do it. You can do it. You just have to, like, go home right after the show ends and then have something that you look forward to doing after the show ends, like a good movie or a good series or something, or a good book, and then just be like, that's what I do.
Usually my road look forward to is like late night McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to do that because that's going to be worse. Then that would be worse than just drinking.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know.
You can totally do it. Like, I have definitely done the road, I think, like, a bunch of weekends and just not drank at all. And actually, I enjoy it because you get up in the morning and you're like, yeah, and you go and do a lot of stuff. Like, go have fun in the city during the day because you're not fucking tired and from drinking.
Well, that's
all night.
The one thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
is
you're
like
being a great city.
The bulk of all my exercise is just walking.
Yeah.
So it's San Francisco. I'm like, okay, I'll walk everywhere. I'll walk to like Rasputin Records. I'm driving. So I'm like, oh, I can drive myself to the Hate Street Amoeba.
Oh, that's great.
You know, so I'll get like some cool shit done like that. But I don't know, dude. The reason I'm a little worried is because this is the Punchline's a club where I drink to go to bed because it's a fun club and the shows are great and the city's great, but it is not in the most fun part of the city. It's in like the financial district.
Yeah, it's like down like central business district.
Everything shuts down at like 6 p.m. So like this is definitely a place where like I would definitely go to the bar after the second show, like have like five drinks and then just be like, okay, I can just go home and just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be. So I don't know. We'll see. This is going to be the first true test. But I feel like if I can get that through this weekend, the rest of the month will be easy.
Load some good movies on your laptop so that you really just want to go home and like, I can watch that.
This is my problem. I live alone. I own so many movies. I own so many video games because it's all I spend my money on.
Yeah.
I own so many records. It's not really a thing to look forward to anymore.
Right.
It's just kind of part of the day for me at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm desperate.
Maybe you could get yourself a fucking puzzle then.
Ugh,
you
God.
Know? A little 1,000-piece puzzle maybe of a rainbow.
Yeah.
And then look forward to fucking doing that by yourself.
Yeah. Or maybe I can, you know, here's the thing. Maybe I could just not be an asshole and go out and drink responsibly one night instead of three.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, I hate that this is the, but whatever. Well, I'm not planning on doing that. I'm just saying.
But I like that you've already crafted an out.
No, I'm not saying so. Maybe I'll do that. I'm just saying like.
That is the weird thing. The negotiations you do with your own brain.
Do you do them too?
Oh, hell yeah. Especially with drinking where you're just like, all right, I'm not going to drink this weekend. And then you're just like, but, you know, maybe.
Every alcoholic I ever that gets sober says, I did the negotiations. And I'm like, oh, does that mean I'm an alcoholic? But I'm like, I don't think it does. I just think it means it's fun. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you're single, I mean, truly single. I don't mean not married, but I have a girlfriend or boyfriend single. I mean, single.
Yeah.
Not seeing somebody, like, whatever. You know, dude, I sit here at night, and I'm just like, last night was one of those nights. It thankfully went away quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I was just like, ooh, it's Sunday night.
Sunday.
That fucking
night.
Roost bar right around 8 p.m. on a Sunday. Go in there, get a couple tall boys, some shot. Like, that is a beautiful Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And because it's like, well, what else? So I watched Ash versus Evil Dead and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how else do you meet girls too? I'm fucking, where the fuck am I going to meet girls?
Again, a library.
Oh, Christ.
Maybe a board game convention. I mean, you could look at a lot of things you could look forward to.
I would like to meet somebody. The last few women I've been out with have expressly said, like, I don't like horror movies. And I'm just like, I literally don't think that will work for me.
Well, here's the question, though. I don't like horror movies, and it's never been an issue with our friendship.
Because you don't come sleep over, Kurt.
I mean, because you always have a horror movie on? Is that
no,
what
but I'm
saying?
Saying, like, we're not going to get potentially married or maybe live together at some point.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd be like, well, what am I supposed to? It's different when it's your person you're dating and in love with,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's like, so what am I supposed to do? Always go into another room to watch the thing I love?
And also, when they come over your house, it's covered in horror movie posters.
Yeah, yeah.
There's I think it's a 12-foot tall skeleton with cards and a scythe painted on this giant, on a giant painting, like staring at me every time I come over.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if once they come over, they're like, oh, okay. Also, you could say, like, would you be open to, like, learning about more horror movies? I think most people who don't like horror movies have an idea of them, which might not actually... There are certain horror movies that would match up with their idea that the thing they don't like, but there's a bunch that don't, that they would like.
I've definitely recently been out with people, though, that were like straight up just like, I can't handle it. They're too much. I can't watch them.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, look, it's obviously... I don't know if it's a deal breaker. It's just such a big part of my life that it's like, it's hard for me to imagine.
How many deal breakers would you imagine you have?
I don't have many.
Okay.
I don't,
horror movies might be one. What might be another one?
Like, here's the thing. I could deal with somebody saying, I don't like the same music as you.
Could you? Because I had a real tough time with that with Lauren. Because Lauren and I have totally different music tastes. And she's not really interested in listening to the music that I like. And that was very difficult. That was almost a deal breaker for me. I had to, like, think about it for a long time, just be like, could I do this?
That wouldn't bother me that much. I mean, as much as I think it'd be nice to be able to go to concerts with somebody and enjoy it equally, that wouldn't bother me as much because it's not like if it's not like you can't play music that you're into around the person that's not into it. Like, you can play the fair let's take turns thing or whatever. With horror movies, if they make you crawl out of your skin, it's like, I can't have it on when you're in the house.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well...
And you do define yourself a little bit in that way, through horror movies a lot.
I'm just a huge enthusiast.
Yeah, I mean, but it's part of your personality. Like,
yeah.
Just to look around your apartment, it's part of your personality. It's kind of...
100%. They're my favorite thing. Yeah. So it's... So that was that will probably be a deal breaker.
Any
so
maybe other, I should. Any others? Any others?
Yeah, I don't. This bothers me, and you know, and I get shit for it, and fuck off because we're all supposed to be even in this gender game. I don't like when people don't show courtesy. It bothers me.
Okay.
I will always be a gentleman first. That's how I was raised. I believe in obviously picking up the check and opening the door and all those things that a gentleman should do or whatever. I believe in all that. And if I dated a girl that said, don't do that because it's weirdly sexist, then I wouldn't do it because I respect that. But my point is that's how I roll. So I am not saying I want anybody picking up the tab, but it really bothers me when somebody doesn't put in like the fake effort of...
Yeah. I think that's a good one to have.
You know, it's just, and I've also been out with people that where I pay for dinner, they don't say thank you. Yeah. That's like you're done.
Yeah.
If you don't say thank you, goodbye. Like that's it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. What about you?
I think both of my deal breakers ended up not being deal breakers for me, but they were also I think a little crazy. Another deal breaker used to be that I didn't want to date anybody who hadn't done acid.
That's a weird one.
And not like that they like are doing acid constantly, but I do feel like if you've done acid in the past, or at least I used to think this, and it was probably, I don't know if it's dumb or smart, but if you had done acid in the past, I feel like at least for me, it changed the way I think about the world on like a fundamental level. Where like I understand what it would be like to not be this person who I am all the time, and it gave me another perspective on reality that I think is very useful to a human being, and I think it makes you more flexible, kind of at like when you're in your thinking as well.
Okay, dead sober person—that's a deal breaker probably for me. Okay. I've tried. This is so funny, dude. I am getting certain clarity. In 2 weeks of not drinking and whatever.
Like yeah.
It's my head is definitely clearing up a bit.
That's interesting.
And one of the things I'm realizing as we talk about this is I don't want to date a sober person. I don't look, I'm just kind of coming to terms with something. I like Yeah, that's fuck it. I'm saying it right now. That's a deal breaker.
Say it, Joe. Do it.
That's a deal breaker for me. I don't want to date a sober person. I don't want to date a sober person. I want to date some, and I also don't want to date a sloppy drunk. That's also a deal breaker.
Right.
If you can't handle your alcohol, get the fuck out of here. No way.
Yeah.
But somebody that can fucking hang, that's like, yeah, I'll play beer pong and talk shit right now. That's all I ever really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That was like for 20 years, that has been like an ideal female in my head is like
someone who plays beer pong.
If I could date somebody that's like, I can hang, I'll play right. the drinking game, I can talk the shit in a fun way.
Yeah.
Like you and your friends do in a fun way. Sometimes drugs are cool. Sure, let's go on a pub crawl Saturday.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that that's, you can, I think all those things, you can find that person.
I've had a hell of a time.
I know you have.
I've had a hell of a time. Because I will say this, and I'm not stroking myself. I'm good at drinking. I'm really good at it. I don't get ornery. I don't get loud. I don't get into fights. I don't start crying.
Yeah.
I don't start bitching.
You will start making out with just whoever is in front of you.
Hey! It's consensual.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
Maybe I should date one of those girls. But, you know, like, my point is like, I'm really good at drinking, and I'm also way more social when I drink.
Yeah.
So I would love to find somebody that I find equally as good at drinking that's also, like, that also we motivate each other to not be bums the next day. That'd be great, too.
Yeah.
Like, honey, we made a pact.
Yeah.
We can't lay around all day tomorrow.
And eat pizza. We got to go. Like,
let's force ourselves to get up, pay the piper in the morning, and we'll love ourselves more later. Like, that would be awesome, you know? I mean, I feel like you and Lauren are like that. Well, before the kid, like, you guys would go out and guys would drink it up and have fun.
Yeah, and then get up and exercise.
Yeah, like the
sometimes. Also, sometimes we would just be like, ugh.
Well, sure.
Just Indian food all day.
But when my first bonding experience with Lauren, like, I was already very friendly with her, obviously.
Yeah.
But like,
was that house crawl?
Well, no, that's where I first met her.
Oh, okay.
And we were very friendly, and then, you know, you guys had gotten married. We were very friendly. But the first time, like, we truly... This was the time I emailed you and said, give me Lauren's number because now I feel like she's just my friend.
Yeah.
And not just, like, the person I know that Kurt is dating that I like. But I ran into her. Kristen Shaw had a wine party?
Oh, at Covell.
Yeah, I can't remember why. It was like
summer
solstice or something.
Yeah.
So I went to that alone, and was like, "Shit, I hope I know somebody here besides Kristen," and Lauren was there, and I was like, "Oh, cool, Lauren's here," and I was like, "Lauren, I'm leaving when the party ends. I'm going to go meet Vince Averill down at what's the bar?" Jesus, my memory anymore is fucking...
A bar.
Yeah, a Silver Lake bar that we always used to go to. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. I was like, you want to come? And she's like, yeah. And we went, and it was like 3 p.m. on a Sunday, and we were just fucking pounding them. And we were having a fucking blast, man.
That's great.
The three of us were having a blast. And then she was just like, I got to go walk the dog. I'll be back. And she left. We're like, there's no way she's coming back.
But I like that the majority of, like, the early hangouts you had with my wife, I was not in town.
You weren't?
No.
The two best ones, you were gone.
I was gone for. You really hang out well with my wife without me.
No, but the second one was the second pub house crawl that you were at.
Okay, nice.
And we had a blast at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one where you called me trash because I walked in with KFC that I was eating like furiously in the Uber because I hadn't eaten. I was like, I have to get something in my stomach.
Did you make the Uber drive through the KFC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the first stop was Kristen's house, and it was their drink of choice. For those of you that we do sometimes do this house crawl where everybody's house is a stop instead of a bar.
Yeah.
And you have to have a drink at your house to give to everybody. So everybody is like, I'll do this. And Kristen every year does some kind of like just tequila display of like, it's always like, here's clam juice, and you chase it down with the tequila. And I was like, I better eat something immediately or I'm going to vomit everywhere. That was a fun day, man.
Yeah.
We ended up at that tiki bar. I was shit-faced.
Jesus Christ.
I was shit-faced. I barely remember that tiki bar.
I don't remember.
Well, it's good talking to you about it, Kurt. Real fucking pleasure talking to you about this.
I honestly don't. I have my memory is so gone.
All right. Listen, let's get into... That was good.
Yeah, it was like, a great
catch-up.
There
was a lot of emotion in that catch-up. But the heart of the discussion today is what we teased last week.
Yeah.
Which is, you want to intro it since it happened
to
you?
Yeah. So I was, as you know, being a little bitch about the fact that everyone seems to reach out to Joe online,
yes.
Ask him questions, give him compliments, but there had been no reach out really for me.
Yes.
And I was wondering if there was an issue, and then I got if I was an unapproachable person, or if there was a reason people didn't want to reach out to me.
Can I ask you a quick question before you'd read these?
Yeah.
Is it wrong of us to say little bitch?
No, you said that the other episode.
Is that wrong to say?
I refer to myself as a little bitch, and so if I was referring to someone else as a little bitch, I feel like maybe.
But is it like calling?
I'm referring to me.
But is it like calling yourself a little fag or something? You know what I mean? Like, is it the same thing?
No.
Is it like using a slur?
No, because I mean, like, bitch. You know, bastard, bitch. I feel like they have equal weight in society.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
You. Bastard and bitch. Okay, now I got you.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's like saying dick and pussy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
No. Little bitch. I just imagine like, just being a little complaining bitch. But I mean, like, you could make the argument that it's offensive to bitches. I mean, but I honestly don't think it's offensive. Also, if other people think that it's really offensive, maybe, inform us. But I don't think it is.
Okay.
Like, I think you're allowed to call yourself a little
bitch.
I'm
not judging. I'm just asking.
If I called somebody else a little bitch, definitely they have reason to be offended. But if I call myself a little bitch, I think that's fine.
Okay. I don't disagree.
Okay. I mean, like,
I was just
curious. You mentioned that, and I kept thinking about it, because I definitely have continued to use it, because I kind of enjoy it.
Well, I called you a little bitch once, and then I was like, oh, should I not have said that? Is that wrong?
I think you've worried.
Said that?
I think you're worrying for no reason. But again, maybe we're wrong.
We
always
live in a horrible
open-minded
world.
The two of us are open-minded. Let us know if that's something we should no longer say. If it's like the word retarded, we should no longer say little bitch. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Anyway, right. Go ahead.
So this is one that just happened. This is from Cheryl. I laughed listening to the podcast today because I am one of the many people that messaged Joe and not you. As a single lady in my early 30s in San Francisco, similar to the 41-year-old that said he relates to Joe, I guess I felt the same. Not that you haven't been there, but listening to Joe, I see parts of myself going through similar things, so I felt a connection. Obviously, I'm a stranger to both of you, but I love the show and love listening to the older episodes as well. Now, I had gotten this while I was at the bachelor party, so I had been driving. I saw it, and I accepted the request, you know?
Right.
And then I didn't have a chance to respond.
Right.
And then she sent it at 8:23 a.m., and then at 11:29 p.m., she just responded, also point proven, he responds.
Oh, God.
So
I don't immediately.
No, but also I think she saw that I had accepted it. And then I just wrote her back like, I don't get a day to respond. I'm sorry I was tardy, but I do appreciate the message about how you don't relate to me. Just kidding. Obviously, thank you for the show. And we'll definitely read it on the air. And she was very nice after that.
Maybe she was just kidding with the point proven thing.
I mean, yeah, possibly.
Okay.
But she was shit-talking, which I appreciate. I think it's funny.
All right.
But this came up over and over again. This is very interesting. From ladies, single ladies, and I'm not saying that Cheryl was trying to get you into bed, but two other ladies definitely said that they DM you in hopes of betting you in a future time.
Betting me?
One of them said the word betting you.
Ooh, who said that?
Here, this one. To answer your question, I don't know. I won't use her name because she's now no longer single. But to answer your question, right. I had sent my question to Joe because I was vaguely hoping to at some point bed him. But now that I'm no longer single, I'll happy pose my emo hangs questions to you, Kurt. And I was like, ha, he's going to love this answer.
Yeah, it's great.
And she said, sorry to fan the flames of his ego even more. And I respect that.
All right, that's fair.
Because you're out of control.
I am. I'm a lost cause.
I got some good questions, too, but I'll save those for question time.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some that were just very nice. But here's my favorite one.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I want to hear another analysis, one of you.
Oh, okay. This was not an analysis, but I will.
We'll read
here's,
it, though.
Here's from Cody at Cody's Nuts. Hey, Kurt. Here's a question for you for the next emotional hangs. Why are you being such a bitch about the questions?
That's great.
So this is the one I will read. I will read this one. This is like a pretty good analysis. I read it a little bit last time, but there's a lot more to it.
Okay.
All right. This is from, she asked me not to say her name. Okay. Hi, Kurt. Sorry you don't get DMs. Here's a big one. Basically, I send Joe messages when I'm afraid he's getting shit on too much. I like practicing nice things to say, and I think other people like practicing reactionary garbage to say to him. But I'm afraid of getting mentioned on the podcast. I saw the episode update right before bed and had to rush halfway through to make sure I wasn't getting called out. I just really like giving constructive feedback, but the idea of drawing extra attention to myself makes me too aware of the fan-performer dynamic, and I get way too embarrassed.
Okay.
Actually, I wrote and then didn't send a message to you a couple weeks ago with the last question because I didn't want to pester both of you. Have you considered if you just have more emotional walls up than Joe? I met Joe briefly at Clusterfest and told him I loved emo hangs. And he was like, you don't think we're too mean to each other? People say I'm too mean. And I thought, oh, he cares about people.
Well, by the way, when you read that part last week, I do remember meeting this person. I didn't say, do you think we're too mean to each other? I said, do you think I'm too mean meeting? I didn't mean to you. I meant toward the audience.
Oh, did you feel like you were too mean to the audience?
I think I said something along the lines of, like, I feel like sometimes people think I'm the mean one. Because we had gotten recently into a lot of, like, sort of PC, non-PC discussion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't want to be late. And so I was a little insecure. And she was like, no, it's a good dynamic.
Oh, okay, good.
Anyway, that's what that was.
So, yeah, this was just basically saying that she thinks... Actually, a lot of the people said... that because of the fact that you're single and also what you talked about last week where you like kind of have admitted to a lot of intense personal stuff
right.
on the podcast, that people do feel that you're more approachable. It's very interesting to me and also it's like, we talked a little bit about this last week, but this idea of like, how are you perceived by other people? And I definitely remember you saying this when you didn't know me, but you're like, you just thought I was like a highfalutin piece of shit, arrogant motherfucker, right?
I wouldn't say it was that extreme. I just thought, look, you don't look like a guy that has a dark side.
No, I look like a fucking banker and a little league coach.
You look like...
And I've struggled against that my whole life because it's not how I feel inside.
Sure, sure. But you've made the Ed Begley Jr. joke about how you kind of look like him. He, you know, there's a guy that spends his time putting solar panels on his roof and telling people how to live environmentally. You know, it's like I've met him, by the way. He's a very, very nice guy.
Yeah.
But you know, and there's nothing wrong with him doing that. But my point is you're sitting with him at a bar because he was on Better Call Saul. Like that's where I met him.
Yeah.
So if it's just to put it into terms of the people on that show, if I'm at a bar with Ed and Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike, I'm not turning to Ed to be like, dude, can I tell you about how fucking hungover I was today? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't seem... Now, he could be the guy that goes, oh, yeah, dude, tell me about it. But you wouldn't look at him and think that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that...
I play a young Ed Begley Jr. on this upcoming season of Lady Dynamite.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I play her father in the 80s.
That's so funny. Oh, he's her father on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good show. I got to watch more of it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the John.
I love that Ed Begley Jr. was like, you just went to that without knowing that.
That is weird. Yeah. I feel like I need to say this. I'm not throwing Jonathan Banks under the bus in any way. I'm not saying so he's a big drinker or anything. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, just what you look
on
at the
surface.
Two of them.
Yeah, I would look at that guy first and be like, I could talk to him about the bar fight I just got into.
Yeah.
You know, so like.
But then there's also this thing of like when you're that guy, like you look like the fucking high school principal. It's like, I guess you just have to, I just have to embrace it in some way. And I just don't know what to do with that. Do you know what I mean? It's, I don't feel that way. You know, it's not who I, what I relate to.
Well, I would say part of it is also, and this isn't a bad thing or a good thing. Everybody's got their boundaries. You know, you have every right to explore things you want to explore publicly and hide other things or not explore, whatever. But I would say it does probably get a little compounded when somebody does know, like, oh, he does have a dark side, but he chooses not really to talk about it that much.
Uh-huh.
Because then it's like, well, this isn't something he feels that comfortable talking about with just anybody. Whereas I am a very, like, offense is the defense kind of guy. Well, that's kind of the wrong word, but, like, I have a very 8 mile approach to life. Like, I'm gonna say everything I can say about me before you can say anything about me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an open book. Like, I did a show the other night and I had really bad diarrhea from this diet I'm on. Like, really bad.
It's a sign of a good diet.
Well,
when you've got really bad diarrhea from it.
You get it because your body has to, like, readjust to the way it's digesting
these
foods.
All bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. So I felt terrible. I was having stomach aches, like, and I was like going to the bathroom repeatedly, and it hit me the hardest it had hit me at the show.
Oh, man.
So, like, as soon as I got on stage, I had to do 15 minutes. My stomach hurt. I felt terrible. And I just was like, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I've shit water two or three times since I got here. I'm not going to try to cover that up. I feel terrible. Let's just try to do this. And it's like, that's just my way. Like, yeah. I'm like, I don't feel like dancing around this right now. You know, and I'm not a pig. I'm not uncouth. Like, I can sit at a dinner table at your parents' house and act with respect and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just two different personalities, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think
there's
fascinating.
Pros, like, and cons of both.
I don't feel like bad about it or conflicted about it. I just think it's more like, oh, that's interesting. That's always interesting to, like,
well, you were being a little bitch about it, though.
How strange. I did. I was a little bitch about it. But if I wasn't a little bitch about it, I wouldn't know all these things.
No, no,
what
I know.
People think about me.
Well, but you complaining led to you accepting.
Yeah, right?
Which is great. We have time for one more, if you have any more.
Yeah, it would be... I have a lot... A lot of people sent me questions. We'll get to those. Why don't you talk for a second while I just, like, find a good one? Because there were, like, really nice ones that were, like, interesting and with a good analysis.
Well, I think, you know, this is the best case scenario for an experiment like this on the podcast. I think it's not just about an exchange with the audience in the sense of you all sending us questions and us answering them. And it being a sort of one-sided conversation, I think, like, when we can do things like this where you write in and give us insight and then we can discuss the insight. And as you saw today, Kurt, it helping in a therapeutic way, that's pretty fascinated by that. I think that's pretty great. You know, I'd also say, Kurt, you are wearing dress socks with some and shorts, but, like, not...
Yeah, that's very cool in Germany.
Not in, like, a punk way. Like, I do that with, like, chucks and shorts.
This is not a cool way?
It doesn't look bad, but those shoes are very... It does. It looks very European versus...
Does it?
Yeah. What kind of shoes are they?
I know. They're chrome. You know, like, the messenger bag? Chrome that has, like, the... Yeah. They're messenger bags that have, like, the seatbelt as the...
Oh, okay.
Thing.
I like those.
I love these shoes, so it's...
That's cool.
It does sadden me to hear that they look very European.
It looks European.
Cool.
It doesn't look bad. I wouldn't look at it and go, Jesus Christ. It's just, it looks more proper is all.
It looks more proper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks more proper and less like, I don't give a shit.
Here's the deal. Here's the only thing that I really that ticks me off a little bit is that I guess when growing up, I knew a lot of like preppy kids. You know, I think preppy kids was the default at the Catholic schools that I went to.
Right.
And I hated them, and I hated the preppy look, and I always rebelled against it and pushed against it. And then it just seems like no matter what I do, I just end up looking like the preppy kid no matter what. So I should embrace it in some way and become cool with it, but it's weird that I haven't become cool with it in my whole fucking life.
You don't look like the preppy kid.
I don't. Okay, so in my this opinion. Is something. All right, well, then this is, I don't even... No, I thought that not, was like Ed Begley Jr. is kind of like the preppy kid adult.
Ed Begley Jr. is like Brooks Brothers. He's not...
Oh, my God. It's even worse. That is the preppy kid. Brooks Brothers is the preppy kid.
I don't see it that way. To me, the preppy kid is like Abercrombie and Fitch, like the sweater and the, you know, and over the collared shirt and
yeah,
shit like that.
Yeah, the tennis player.
You know,
going
or like
golfing.
Or like the off-duty jock. You know, like that. That to me is what... how I always looked at the preppy kid. Like, you know, Ed Begley Jr., at first glance, I'd say might look a little stuffier than he is.
Yeah.
So maybe you look a little stuffier.
Maybe I look stuffy.
But I mean, my point is once you see your comedy and talk to you for 2 seconds, you know that you're not. But I just think it's way more of a thing of like, you just have different boundaries.
So, you know what? Maybe I know what it is. I should start wearing a leather jacket on stage.
All right.
Right? Yeah. Little leather jacket on stage?
Is that a shot at me for when I do that?
No. Do you wear a leather jacket on stage?
If I'm wearing a leather jacket that night.
Oh,
but
no.
But it's not like I go on stage.
I've never seen you wear a leather. I'm talking about getting a leather jacket. That's the only thing I wear on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people who have that like thing. It's like, this is my outfit. I wear this on stage every time I perform.
Well, there's the suit guys. And
yeah.
Don't do that.
I was joking. I'm not planning
no, I know,
on doing
I know.
That. But it would be funny if I just like that, just like a, like if there was a character I was doing that was like a pathetic attempt at like being cool with the
well,
leather
that's funny.
Jacket. That's a funny idea.
Do that. Do that like in Hot that. Tub next week.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Well, this is good.
Yeah.
I learned about you. You learned about you. The
we
audience
learned about
learned
each
about
other.
You.
Come and see Emotional Hangs at Scoops Fest, September 23rd, Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, come and take it fest November, I think it's the 19th or something like that.
Oh, yeah. In Houston.
In Houston, Texas. We're doing some shows in Dallas and Austin prior to that. And that's it. I'll be at the DC Draft House in September if you want to come out for that.
And I'll be at the Hard Fest, Hard Times, which is a very funny, like, onion style. Online magazine, but all related to like kind of punk news, is doing the comedy tent at this very cool festival in San Bernardino on September 9th. And so like Tegan and Sarah are playing, Death Cab for Cutie's playing, and me and Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher and a whole bunch of other great comics are going to be performing as well. So that's September 9th in San Bernardino. Come on out.
And check out my Penthouse column every month. You Let Me Down. Talk to you soon. Feral Audio.